Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
And this is the Shame Free Zone. I'm your host, Veronica Monet, and I am back in my usual location here in Nevada City, California. I was on a 2-week tour and had a lot of fun meeting a lot of you. I spoke at Sonoma State University up in Rohnert Park. I gave the workshop over at Camouflage in Santa Cruz, and I did a series of house calls. I hit Los Gatos, San Jose, Fremont, San Francisco, Sacramento. It was a lot of fun, and I hope to do it again soon. So stay tuned. I promise I will let you know when I'm going to be on the road again in case you would like me to pay you a house call. Okay, so tonight we've got a really interesting topic. We're going to be interviewing a happiness coach. Now, you know, I probably wouldn't have been very interested in this, except that this particular person has been through a lot of shit. He really has. Since we're on the adult channel here, I can say that. We are, after all, in the shame-free zone. But, no, seriously, it's amazing some of the stuff that he's been through, and he's still got a big smile on his face, and not only that, but he's actually traveling around. He's doing something called couch surfing. Actually, I think I was doing the same thing, couch surfing from friend's house to friend's house, offering happiness coaching to people over, and I'm not entirely sure what location he's going to be hitting, but he'll tell us. His name is Eddie Rodriguez. Eddie, welcome to the Shame Free Zone.
Hi, Veronica. How are you today?
Hey, I'm really doing great. I had so much fun out there on the road, meeting so many wonderful people and visiting family and friends. It's really good for the soul. Now, it sounds like you're going to be doing the same thing. You're going to be traveling around couch surfing and doing house calls?
Oh, definitely. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's always great when you can go out and talk to people and you visit and you can just bring a little joy into their lives. You know, give them a little story that they can tell for years to come, and they can smile, they can laugh, they can play, and that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be going across America, helping America to smile.
Now, when you say you're going across America, what states are you actually going to be hitting?
Well, actually, that's going to be up to the people. I'm going to start here in Florida and bring it across Florida, and once I get to Jacksonville, I'll have my destinations. Because I'm starting a thing on my website where people can follow me and they can ask me to come to their state and their city for me to hold happiness rallies, do speeches, and different things like that. So I don't know what my agenda is going to be. I'm just going to go where the people say, hey, I want you to visit here. We need happiness here, so come on by.
Well, that's really fun and exciting, and you have no agenda. So I'm going to ask you to talk about some stuff that isn't so happy, because I think the context of why you went on this campaign to help other people smile is very important and very telling. And you've got a website called Smile and Wave America. So before we get into some details about that, can you tell us a little bit about your background? I know you've actually endured some pretty hard times. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Eddie?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's some things that have really knocked me back, you could say, about 4 years ago. It all started with a guy that I brought in to run my business for me. I wanted to step away and start speaking. And so I brought him in. He had been a successful CEO for other companies, and I thought, okay, well, this would be the perfect guy to run my business, and I can still have some income coming in and, you know, go out and start speaking. Well, to make a long story short, by the time he was done, he'd take me for about $250,000.
Wow.
And so that's part of, yeah, quite a bit of money. But, you know, at that time, my mindset was, I can always make more money. That's okay, because I can always make more money. So anyway, as I was dealing with that and rebuilding the business, and this is the really hard part. My oldest daughter got put in the hospital in Korea. She was in Korea with her husband, and he was in the military. And so she was living over there. They went out on a moped one night, and they slipped on some sand, and she hit her head, and spent the next 45 days in the hospital, and she was never able to recover. So she passed away. That is something that really knocked my life for a loop.
How old was your daughter when this happened?
I'm sorry?
Eddie? How old was your daughter?
She was 27 years old.
My God, she just barely started her life.
Yeah. She was a baby. She was a baby and a beautiful, beautiful individual. I mean, she really did good for the world and her friends around her. She was helping everybody, and she was there teaching English to the Koreans.
Wow.
And so, yeah. Well, 4 months after she passed away, I went into the hospital myself. I had a cerebral hemorrhage.
Oh, my God. And, if you didn't
Yeah,
have
so they
that.
Told my wife, call the family. He's dead tonight. So I was supposed to die. But how could I do that to my family? How could I pass at such a critical time in our lives? There's no way I could do that. So I had to survive. I mean, you know, they gave me the strength to survive. And my daughter gave me the strength to survive.
Well, maybe you can explain that a little bit to us. But before you, you know, can you tell us a little bit about how, you know, how grieved were you about your daughter's passing? You know, people are going to have a hard time relating to the happiness if they don't understand the pain. So
well,
I'm just wondering, did you at any point, you know?
Severe.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, I said the pain is absolutely severe, and I'm sorry, you were asking a question.
Well, I just wondered if you had, you know, did you get depressed? Did you have to go see a therapist? Did you contemplate suicide? Did you stop eating? Can you just kind of give us a few more details about how deeply it really affected you?
Oh, yeah. No, I never contemplated suicide. The only thing I could think about was, you know, the need to live, the need to celebrate her life. But, you know, the pain, you cannot describe the pain that you go through. I mean, you're crying every single day. And, you know, you think about, you know, how can I keep going? How can I keep living? You don't contemplate suicide. I never did. And I know nobody in the family ever did. But you wonder, how is your life ever going to be the same? And it's never going to be the same. But how is it that you can live again? How is it that you can thrive again? How is it that you can take such a devastating thing and bring it into something that will drive you again? So where you just even think about life as being decent, not good, just decent. You know, how can I survive? This is insurmountable. There's no way you can take another step, but you know that you have to. You know that you need to deal with it. And so you go through that pain. And, you know, when I had my hemorrhage, I sometimes feel like I kind of took the easy way out because I went numb for a year. You know, I was just out of it. So, but, you know, the thing that kept me going when I had that hemorrhage was that how could I leave my family now because I knew the pain that they were going through. I knew the devastation. And did I ever get depressed? Absolutely, yes. I was in a depressed state for many, many years. So, you know, it's something that deflates you. It takes every ounce of energy out of your body. So, but you have to find a way to survive.
Well, then how did you find your way? Can you give us some of the specific steps that you think helped you on this journey to becoming a happiness coach of all things?
Well, the first thing is that you have to start thinking, what is the reason that you're here? Why is it you're still alive? Yeah, you wonder, why couldn't I have gone instead of her? But there's a reason that this happens. And also, what can I do to help her after she's already passed away? And kind of the answer to that is you celebrate her life. You mourn her death, yes, but you also celebrate her life. Celebrate who she is. And the only way that you can celebrate somebody's passing is to thrive in your own life, to make your own life something that they would be proud of. And so you really have to do soul searching. and understand who you are, what you're about, and how you can help them. Because even in death, you can help them. So in celebrating their life is the way to go.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you celebrated your daughter's life. What specifically did you do to celebrate her life?
Well, once I got my head back together, my wife asked me a question. She says, "What do you want for your birthday?" And that is a very innocent question. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I can't think of anything monetary. The only thing that I want is for people to get along for one day, just one day. So I decided to create that day, and I called it Smile on a Wave Day, and that gave me something to hang on to. So when you have something devastating that happens in your life, find something that you can do that is so awesome that it's going to bring you out. It's going to change your life, and it's going to shift the people around you. Because it's not just about us. It's also about the people around us. How can we help them in our moment? When we're so feeling so devastated, we're feeling so down, how can we uplift the people around us? Because when we start to uplift the people around us, it uplifts us also. And if you have a loss, it doesn't matter what kind of loss it is, you help other people, you help yourself, and you help the loss that you've had, whatever that may be.
Yes, I understand that, but can you tell us what you specifically did?
What I specifically did?
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
I'm interested
in your personal story.
What's that?
I'm very interested in your personal story. I'm sure the listeners are, too. So you're,
What I specifically did was I started, you know, first of all, I get up in the morning, and I'd go to the mirror, and I'd look in the mirror, and when I saw myself, they'd tell me two things. One, I'm alive. Two, I'm not a vampire. So that's pretty cool. So, gotta throw a little humor in there, right?
Right.
But anyway, you know, you go and you start seeing how you can help yourself to dig out of this hole, because you're definitely, you're down deep. You're in a deep, deep hole, and you need to find your way out. So you need to find out, you know, you need to start finding out who you are and how you can help you and how you can bring your spirit out and how you can show the world that, hey, you know what? Things can be good no matter what. So what I did is I went in the mirror and I started saying hello to myself. Good morning, Eddie.
Oh,
how are you? Yeah. Yeah, it's like you start celebrating. Who, you know, how are you today? It's so awesome to have you in my life. So it's funny because I get really animated when I'm there. You know, I mean, I start jumping around. Hey, Eddie, all right, how you doing, man? You know, and I just start letting it go. Now, it's something that I may not have felt like that at the moment, but I'm teaching myself, I'm working my mind to understand that there's change that needs to be made, and even though I may feel sad and depressed inside, I need to show my mind that, you know what, life is wonderful. And even if I don't believe it, I'm going to believe it one day. So I kind of lied to myself.
Okay.
I kind of said, hey, man, yeah. You know, so it's like, okay, you're not happy, you're depressed. But do I want to remain there? No, I don't. So I need to take the steps to get out of it. And that's the steps. Lie to yourself. Okay? Say, I am not depressed. I am happy. I am joyful. Life is good. Things are going to be great. Celebrate your daughter. So those are, you know, those are a couple of steps that I took. Also, I started reading books as much as I could. Now, laughter really helps. Laughter really helped because, you know, I started watching things that were funny. You know, every comedy show that I could get my hands on, funny movies, things like this. After I had my hemorrhage, I could.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Conway? Remember Tim Conway?
Oh, yes, I sure do.
Show?
From the Carol Burnett
Show. Yeah. You remember how he used to walk like a little old man?
I sure do. I even remember what he used to say. Mrs. Seligus?
Well, that's how I used to walk.
Oh, wow.
I used to walk like Jim Conway. I was that little old man. I couldn't pick up my feet. I would kind of shuffle them, you know? And it'd take me about 5 minutes to get from the door to the driveway. So my family is so good because what they did was they helped me to laugh. they start laughing at me. Come on, old man, can't you walk any faster than that, you know?
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and when I slurred, because I couldn't speak very well, so when I was slurring, it was like, you know, hey.
Oh, are you back? For your phone cut out for a minute there. Are you on a cell phone?
Nope, I'm on a landline.
Okay, I don't know what happened
there. But I've got Comcast, if that tells you anything.
Oh, well. So the part that cut out at my end, I don't know if the listeners heard it or not, but I didn't hear. They were teasing you and saying, come on, old man.
Yeah, come on, old man. Can't you walk any faster than that, you know? And,
yeah.
And when I'd talk and I was slurring and things like that, you know, they were like, hey, come on, we can't understand you. Will you speak clearly,
wow.
please? You know, so, but it was good because that brought up the laughter. That was another tool that we used, was laughter.
Yeah.
And a big one is forgiveness. You know, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself and forgive the people that you believe have done something to you. Because,
so what,
you know,
kind,
I mean,
of things did you have to forgive yourself for?
Well, I had to forgive myself for not being there when all of this happened, for not recognizing things as they were coming along and saying things. You know, my wife was always saying that, you know, there's something's going on, something's wrong, because there was things that she would notice that she felt something was going to happen. But, you know, we never said anything. We never really came up and said, look, you know, we told her to be careful, but we never said, you know, we thought maybe something's happening. So we had to forgive ourselves for that. We had to forgive ourselves for living, surviving. She's gone. Why are we still here? You know, we're her parents. So why, what right do we have to survive?
Yeah.
You know, why couldn't we take her place? So we have to forgive ourselves for those things.
Oh.
It's very strange all the emotions that you go through, everything that happens in your mind. And, you know, and to find happiness after something like this, it really takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work, and every single day you have to tell yourself that, you know what, I am here on the face of the earth, and I have a purpose. What is
that
purpose?
So you obviously were suffering from survivor's guilt. That's pretty common.
Yep. So it's, you know, I mean, it's been a wondrous ride. She has left us, you know, very many gifts. So we were actually very lucky to have spent 27 years with her. And, you know, she is just so beautiful. She's still so beautiful. And every day she guides us. You know, she helps us out. She's always there. She's in our hearts. And we cry quite a bit. You know, and when I talk about her, I have, you know, I have to speak of her in good. Even when I'm crying, I just, you know, I speak of her beauty, and I speak about everything that she's done that was so wonderful and great, because we remember the kindness that she has, and that's what we want to keep focusing on. We don't want
and
to focus on a lot.
How many years has it been since her death now?
4 years.
4 years, yeah, that's not very long.
No, it's not very long. And
not very long at all. How long since your brain hemorrhage?
A little less than 4 years. I had her 4 months after she passed away.
Wow. And then how long since your business partner ripped you off for a quarter of a mil?
That was about 5 or 6 months before my daughter passed.
You just had like three horrific things happen, one right after another.
Yes. Yes,
a lot of people really would have been pushed to the edge. I'm wondering, do you have a spiritual belief or a faith that got you through this?
Well, I have a spiritual belief, definitely. You know, and I believe that there, you know, things happen for a reason, and that she spent her time here on Earth that she should have. And it's very difficult to get to that point, you know, to want to actually accept that. And when you have things like this happen to you, you truly find out who you are and what your beliefs are.
Right.
Because, yeah, because it's easy to say things. It's very easy to say things, but what do you live? What do you actually do when the moment comes, when you're stripped of everything you've ever had, and you're there, let's say, you know, totally taken, what is it that you do? Do you step up, or do you step out? And it's that daily routine of making sure that you're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, that you're living the life that you want to live, that helps to keep you on track. Because when you start to lose focus, you start to lose everything. And that's why I was so blessed to be able to keep my focus. When everything happened, I was able to keep that focus and keep going. And let me tell you, it was not an easy ride. It was not an easy ride. But I decided that the one thing that I needed most in my life was happiness. And so I decided to create it. So folks that are listening out there, if you have something you want, really go after it. Don't ever give up. Never surrender. Just keep driving towards that thing that you want, and you will create it in your life. And I tell you what, I can attest to that. You've heard the things that have happened, and I can't say they happened to me, because that's one of the things. If you say this happened to me, then you give it the power. When you say, what can I learn from this, and how can I drive forward, how can I keep moving in my life, and how can I make it so big and so powerful that it helps the people around me? Take your inner beauty, expose it to everybody, and watch how the world changes around you. It really does.
How did you take those steps? How did you expose your inner beauty?
Well, what I did is, one of the things that I told you is I started looking into that mirror and seeing the reflection of me and who I was. And
right.
I started studying about the things that I could do to make myself better.
Uh-huh.
So not to improve the world, but to make myself better. What is it that I can read? What is it that I can listen to? What is it that I can believe that will actually enhance my inner beauty? How is it that I can take this and turn it into a gift? What is the gift that's involved? Because there's always a gift somewhere. And you start taking those steps. You start reading that book, The Key. You know, reading The Secret. Some people like The Secret.
Right.
You know, what is it that drives you? What is it that will lift you up? Start asking the questions. Because questions are very, very important. And ask the questions of, how can I? What is it that I can do to help? Make sure that you start empowering the people around you. As you start empowering the people around you, they also feed your empowerment. The better you do good in life, the better your life is. Forgiveness, understanding, loving, caring, helping, and also realizing that there's a hole, there's a void. That when things like this happen, it's been filled with negativity. How is it that you can move that negativity out? What is it that you can do to clear that and fill that space with love? Fill that space with understanding, with caring, with helping. What is that joy that you can find? That little thing that you can hang on to that will bring a spark into your life. And just move.
So what was the little thing that you hung on to that brought a spark into your life?
The smile.
Whose smile?
Everybody's. Everybody's smile. When my wife asked me that question, what do you want for your birthday? I came up with smile and a wave day. Because
yeah.
I knew that if I can help people to smile,
uh-huh.
That smile can turn into laughter. That laughter can turn into love. Caring, openness. It can open a whole new world for you. And it all starts with a simple smile. That one little act. I mean, I do some weird things. I go out in a rabbit suit. I go to Coconut Grove and I help people to laugh.
You go where?
I go to Coconut Grove, Miami.
Uh-huh.
Miami, Florida. Okay, I've
right.
got a rabbit suit that I put on. I get these
oh, you put on
ears.
A rabbit suit, like a bunny
a
rabbit.
Rabbit suit. A bunny rabbit, yes. I got these big old ears that I wear.
Right.
Okay, I've got a fluffy tail. And I put on a T-shirt that says Smile on a Wave Day. And I go out and I just start playing with people. You know, my whole face shows because the face is cut out. I don't have a mask on so people can see who I am. And then I just hop on up to them and start talking to them and, you know, saying, hello, how are you? How's your night tonight? You know, and just having a good time, letting yourself go. And when you do that, the people around you start letting themselves go, and then you can start teaching them. Teaching them how beautiful life is and you know, what they can do in order to bring their own life into a place that is really peaceful and tranquil. And meditation is a good thing for that. I'm sure you know that, right?
Now, what kind of meditation do you do, Eddie?
Actually, I do a guided meditation. I created a meditation CD, and I listen to it all the time, and I've created a couple of them, and it just kind of guides me into the place that I want to go. And I did a couple so that I would have a variety of things. Now, you know, guided meditation is not always the way to go, but it's the way that I go. So just
right.
hearing my own voice taking me through a journey. And then at the end of the journey, I get to see what I've created in my life. So it's really phenomenal. If anybody has a recorder out there, just record in your own voice so that you take you through a journey, a very relaxing journey. Write it all down, exactly where it is you want to go and what you want to do. What is it you want to create in your life? And meditate to that. And I tell you what, you start finding that the things that you start writing down, the things that you focus on, that you guide yourself through, will start happening in your own life. They'll start showing up.
Absolutely. Universal laws of attraction. Sounds like you believe
That's
in
right.
Some of the stuff that was in the movie Secret.
So, yeah,
was that a favorite movie of yours, The Secret?
Yeah, The Secret was one, you know, it's one of the good ones. And also Down the Rabbit Hole, have you seen that? Or What the Bleep?
What the Bleep I've seen, is that the same as Down the Rabbit Hole?
It's Down the Rabbit Hole was the second part of What the Bleep.
Okay.
And it was really cool. I mean, they were doing experiments. Well, in What the Bleep, they were doing experiments with sand and how they use the vibration. And the sand
right.
would go into different configurations. One of the things that they did in Down the Rabbit Hole is they actually took water. And they would set two glasses of water out on the counter. And as people walked by, they taped love on one of the glasses of water and hate on the other glass of water.
Right.
And so, as the people walked by, they would send vibrations of love, and they speak really nicely to the one water, you know, saying, oh, you would cleanse me so well, you're so crystal clear, you quench my thirst, well, thank you, and really praise this water. And then the other water that they put hate on, they say, oh, you look murky and nasty, and I would never drink you. You'd probably poison me, and things like that. And then they analyzed the crystals of the water. They froze it and analyzed the crystals of the water afterwards. And the shapes that took form were absolutely amazing. The ones that were the love were like crystal clear and just beautiful formations. And the one that was hate was really obscure, and you know, just the formations were more like blobs than anything else. They really didn't have any crystal clear lines or anything like that. It just looked really nasty. So that kind of tells you we affect the things around us, the water, the trees, the machinery,
right,
with our energy. So we change that energy, we change everything, don't we?
Well, I certainly think that everything's connected. But, I've seen some, actually, I think I saw a documentary on TV about some of those water experiments. It was actually quite fascinating.
Yeah, it's really cool the way they do things. And I think in Down the Rabbit Hole also, they had the machine that they had people sit around in a circle, like a dozen people sit around a table. And they had a machine that sat in front, in the middle, and they programmed it to do a, like, dot, dot, dash, dot, dot, dash, dot, dot, dash, but randomly. And so they had the people focus in on the machine and say, okay, what is it, you know, how can we change this? Can we change this to dot, 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 dash? And they were actually able to do that, I think it was 40% of the time. And so they literally changed the way that the machine worked. And then they took the machine and, they shipped it off to Germany. And the same dozen people sat around the same table and focused in on it in Germany. And they changed it, I think it was 37% of the time. So we really do have an effect.
So we have an effect on what's going to come in and how life is going to impact us. Now, for some people, that's a lot of responsibility. What would, they kind of get afraid that they're going to pull in the wrong stuff and think the wrong thoughts. What would you say for them?
Well, the thing is that we all do that. We all have a tendency every once in a while to think of something that may be negative. And that's part of where forgiveness comes in. Forgive yourself.
Right.
And keep going. It's okay, because, sometimes we do fall off track, but if we get right back on the track and we keep going, there's nothing to be afraid of, because we're creating that. We're creating what it is that's in our world. And sometimes we don't think, we just do. And so what happens is a lot of people get afraid, okay, you know what, I'm creating all this bad stuff, all this negative stuff in my world, but when you do that, that's something that needs to be taught to you. So there's something in there for you to learn. Don't be afraid of it. Learn the lesson. Get the gift. Keep going. Because no matter what it is, there's a gift.
So, okay, let's talk about your brain hemorrhage. What was the gift in that?
The gift of my brain hemorrhage was the fact that I had a chance to rebuild. My brain was pretty much wiped out.
Wait, you had a chance to what?
Rebuild,
okay.
Yes. My brain was wiped out. I had very little memory left, okay. I couldn't sleep in my bed. I had to sleep in a chair because my head would hurt so bad when I was sleeping in bed that I couldn't stand it. Yeah.
Wow.
So I sat in a chair for 4 months, okay. And I pretty much was a bump on a log. I sat there with my jaw open, kind of going, not realizing the things that are happening around me. So how do I get a gift out of that? you have nothing, So what my gift was I had a chance to rebuild my brain into what I wanted it to be, to clear my head and to start over. So that hemorrhage gave me the chance to shape my brain, because what I had the opportunity to be able to revitalize my brain if I didn't have the hemorrhage? I don't know, but you know what? With a blank slate, I got to start up. I got to start over. So there's beauty in that. It gave me something to drive towards. It gave me purpose in life to survive. Because I don't know what would have happened. Would I have been a different person had I not had the hemorrhage? Absolutely, I would have. Would I have had the chance to really look at things, analyze my life, and go, wow, this is what I want it to be?
Right.
And really in on it? Probably not. Probably not. So that brain hemorrhage, I believe, was actually a good thing. It gave me the chance to stop, reset, and start over.
Yeah. Well, you know what? A lot of people would love to start over again. What about the death of your daughter? What was the gift in that? A little harder, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is. It throws me off still when I have to speak of that. But the gift in her death is the gift of life. Because the beautiful person that she is showed me that I was kind of doing the wrong things in my life, in my own life. She was a person, she had lupus. And
your daughter
no matter
did?
What, my daughter had lupus. Yeah, she contracted it when she was 17 years old. Actually, you always have it, but we didn't find out until she was 17 years old.
Okay.
That she had lupus. Okay. But she never let it stop her. She always drove forward. And it would be like, oh, you shouldn't do that because, you're lupus. And she'd go, okay, but, what am I supposed to do? Nothing? I don't think so. And
okay.
She'd go and she'd do it. Like, she shouldn't have been in Korea in reality because it gets too cold, it gets too hot. But you know what? Her husband was there. He was in the military. She wanted to be with him. So what did she do? She went there. And she not only went there, but she thrived. So she didn't stop. The lupus didn't stop her. It only made her stronger. It made her go. Because she was that kind of a person. She was
right.
That kind of a soul. And, you know, the beauty in her just came out. And so she, you know, she didn't complain. She didn't cry. She didn't, you know, yes, she did when she found out and things like this. But when she got her strength, she just moved. And she, you know, that the gift that she gave me was never give up. Always move forward. Do the best that you can and help people. She left me with that gift.
Wow.
So you just, you know, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, I mean, you're obviously a huge inspiration. It's amazing that you have kept, you know, it seems like you've actually become a happier person since all this adversity because of the way that you have worked with it. Would you say that's a true characterization?
Oh, yeah. You know, you got a choice, right? And I had a choice. Was I a happy person before? Yes, I was, but not to this extent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just, this enhances your life. It's, you make those choices and you say, am I going to become a better person? Am I going to become happy? Am I going to become more joyful? Am I going to become more productive? And it takes time for each one to kick in. But if you keep working on it, yes, I am definitely happier now than I was before. You know, there's certain areas that I still need work on. We all do. And I'll be continuing to work on myself my whole life. But for the most part, I'm able to take those things and find the beauty, find the grace, find the happiness, and find the things, the gifts that are in every situation. So, yeah, I'm definitely a lot happier, and it's made major changes and strides in my life.
So what would you say, not just what would you, but what do you say? You're going to be traveling around, couch surfing, going from home to home. Anybody who wants to make an appointment to see you as their happiness coach, what kind of people do you usually get? Do people contact you when they're dealing with death of loved ones? Or?
I get a variety of people. I get, you know, several people, yes, that are dealing with death, and I'm able to show them the ways to deal with it and to start bringing happiness back in their lives. And generally, pretty quickly, I've got them smiling. I've got them laughing. It doesn't mean that the pain goes away. The only thing that it means is that they're moving forward in their lives.
Okay.
And it takes time. But I have people also that, you know, they have a lot of anxiety in their life and people have lost their jobs and just, you know, a ton of different people.
Right.
It's really nice to have that kind of variety.
Okay.
Keeps it all interesting.
Well, yeah, but still, everybody's got different, you know, different needs. But do you have kind of like, concentration of clients who are dealing with specific adversity, or are people usually out of the immediate window? They've done their grieving, and now they're just looking to rebuild their life, or are they usually right in the middle of it?
It's funny because usually they're right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's there are different stages, and it's all about stages because we all go through basically the same thing, and we do it in different stages. You know, we grieve. First, we don't believe it ever happened. Okay, this never happened. So we kind of go about our lives, and then all of a sudden it hits us that it really did, and we start to grieve about what happened, and then we kind of get like angry, very pissed. And you know, and the thing is that you can go through all these emotions almost at the same time. But at different stages, at different points, one emotion usually is stronger than another and lasts for a little bit longer. And then when you go through that emotion, you move on to the next one. But, you know, like I said, they're all still there. They're all still circling you. But
okay.
I usually get people when they're in their grieving part.
Right. Well, and because I think this is when people start to give up, you know?
Yeah.
Start to think that
they
can't go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
life sucks.
And you are a living example of not only being able to go on, but being able to thrive. I mean, you've got death, disease, mortality, you know, and then, of course, betrayal from the business partner. How is it that you did not get bitter towards the business partner or business, or, you know, or bitter towards life or bitter towards God? How did you avoid those type of pitfalls? Because that's very hard for some people.
Yes, it is. And there again, you have to realize that it's a choice. And everything is. It's a choice. What choice are you going to make? Are you going to be bitter? And it's not to say that I wasn't bitter, because I definitely was.
Uh-huh.
I got bitter about everything, but I did not stay there. You allow that emotion to come through you. Live it while you're there. Don't stay in the emotion.
Uh-huh.
Because emotion's energy. Everything's energy, right?
Right.
And you have to let it pass through you. You have to live it in the moment. Otherwise, if you don't, and you just, like, you know, there's people out there that say, oh, don't worry about it, just be happy. Well, you know what? Worry about it. But don't worry that long. Live that emotion. Live that state. And then pass it. Because when you live that state, you allow that emotion to move. You allow it to flow. And then you go on to the next step. Because it's like water. Let's say you take a bucket of water, and this is a little example I like to give, and that water just sits there, and it's sitting outside in the sun, and it rains and things like this, and if, when that water stays there long enough, it starts to grow algae, and it looks murky and mucky, things like this, and then all of a sudden mosquitoes come in, and they start to lay their eggs in there, and pretty soon, yeah, the water's not clean anymore, right? You don't want to drink that. And there's mosquitoes in there, so all of a sudden you get near the water, you start getting bit. Well, that's kind of like our emotions. If we let them sit, they're going to stagnate. They're going to cause disease. They're going to cause all kinds of different things in our life, from depression, from stagnant emotion. Live the emotion. Allow it to move inside of you, and then pass it through. It's like a running stream.
Certainly, wise words. Tell us a little bit about your website. It's called www.smileandwaveamerica.com. And I see you've got a button here that says Receive Your Happiness Contract Here. What's a happiness contract?
Well, a happiness contract is something, it's a contract that you make with yourself, stating that you're going to be happy in your life, and you're going to help other people to be happier in theirs. And there's a few basic steps in there. It's kind of like the kindergarten of happiness. Okay, there's a few basic steps in there that you can follow. And then you take that contract, you download it, and if there's changes that will make it easier for you to follow, I say go ahead and change it because we're all different. That's just a kind of a template. Okay, so you make those changes, you sign that contract. And that contract is, you know, there. It's a binding contract with yourself. You don't need to send it to me. Okay, this is your contract. And then if you want, you can send me the fact that you signed it and that you're now, you know, you have a happiness contract. And you're going to try and be happier every single day of your life. So, and what I'll do is I'll put your name and the state you live in, only the first name or the last, whichever you choose. And I add you to my happiness community because I'm starting a happiness community to show people that, hey, here's all these people that are working on themselves and helping other people be happier in their lives, and they're doing it with this happiness contract. So it's just a very simple thing that helps you to move forward and gives you something that you can go back every single day and look at and say, hey, you know what? I signed a contract with myself. I'm going to do this. It helps you to stay in your power.
Right.
Yep. So I love that.
So, is that the first thing you do when you arrive at a house call, is have somebody sign the happiness contract?
I do, and I also have a 36-question sheet that I send them. You know, if they're going to be coaching with me and things like this, I send them a 36-question sheet to find out where they are. You know, what's working in their lives, what's not working in their lives, what they need to change. You know, it's just kind of a kind of a look inside of their own lives. So, and that's also something that I tell them, look, fill it out as honestly as you possibly can. Don't lie to yourself. And that's something that gives us a guideline to help you through at the beginning. It's that starting point. And they also don't have to share those questions with me. They don't have to share the answers. Those are theirs. So, but it definitely gives that little starting point. That with the happiness contract is a great start.
You know, I think it sounds great too. I'm looking here. You said your smile is made up of 26 muscles. They are like any other muscle. If you don't use them, they don't get any stronger. It's when you use your smile muscles that they get stronger and begin to help you more and more in your life. The more you use them, the more natural it feels. The more natural it feels, the happier you get. The happier you get, the more people you touch. The more people you touch, the happier you become. Kind of an endless circle there, isn't it? You smile.
Yes, it is.
It makes you feel happy. Then it makes the other person feel happy. And they smile back, and then that makes you happy.
Yep, absolutely it is. It's an endless cycle. And it's one that, you know, I mean, I know that I love having it in my life because when you have a happiness cycle in your life, that means that when you start to get into that phase of, you know, oh, man, things are not going right now, you know, I lost my house, I lost my job, and, you know, I lost this, I lost that, it starts to bring you back out. You know, you live in that energy, and then you pass right through it. It's a cycle. It's all a cycle. And if you can keep that circle going, help the people around you to smile, they're going to help you to smile when you're down. You help them to smile when they're down. And you help each other to smile when you're up. Because
now,
believe it or not, sometimes when we're happy, we forget to smile.
Okay. I went over to the history here, and you got a happiness fire walk. What is a happiness fire walk?
The happiness fire walk, I love the happiness fire walk because we go out there and you know, we start having fun, we start playing, we learn a little bit about how the brain works and, you know, how we start making decisions and how cluttered our mind can be with all that stuff. You know, that little voice that starts saying,
right,
you can't do that. What do you mean? Oh, who do you think you are? Oh, never, ever. Don't even try. Forget it. Okay. Well, we learn about that and why that little voice is there and how we can tell that little voice, thank you for sharing, but I think I'll do it anyway. So, and we start doing silly faces where we're making, you know, our best silly face and we're laughing, we're playing. We actually do laughter sessions where we just sit there and we laugh.
Right.
You know, everybody laughs and it's great. It releases a lot of energy. We dance. We do like a drumming circle.
Uh-huh.
And it's really awesome because our drumming circle is a little bit different. Because most drumming circles, everybody brings an instrument and they sit around a circle and play. And it's great.
Right.
It's really beautiful, beautiful energy. But what we do is we put somebody in the middle. Actually, we put three people in the middle normally. And we start drumming around them. We come in close to them. We go out away from them. In close to them, out away from them. So they feel, and we have them close their eyes, so they feel the vibration of the music all around them. And it's really awesome. You got to try it sometime. And then after that, we go out and we walk fire.
And so you laugh and you laugh and then you go walk fire.
And then you go walk fire.
I don't get the connection.
You laugh, get your brain straight, and then walk fire.
I do not get the connection. Why walk the fire?
Because the fire is like a physical metaphor for your power.
Okay.
If you can walk fire, if you can walk through fire, you can walk through anything. It gives you your strength. And it's a reminder because, you know, when you teach somebody something, they learn it, yes. But when you do something physical and attach it to it, then it stays locked in. It's kind of like NLP.
So it's like it's an initiation is what it sounds like to me. Is this kind of an initiation?
Yeah.
You sign the happiness contract, you practice an hour of laughing, and then you go walk on the fire and you're initiated.
That's right. You're in the happiness club now. And there ain't no getting out.
So, I'm just wondering, so this was in January 30th. was this a happy thing? Oh my God, you're wearing your bunny suit.
Yes, I'm hopping
you're
to the fire.
You're wearing your bunny suit as you walk the fire.
Yes.
You look positively zenned out.
It's like, hey, even that would get to walk fire, right?
Some of these people look a little bit afraid. How did you learn
okay.
how to walk fire? Do you have to take a class in this?
Well, actually, I learned it from some really good friends of mine,
uh-huh.
and that's another story in itself. This is something that happened probably about 6 years ago now. My wife and I got divorced. And so we go, my wife and I got divorced? Well, the second part of that is I remarried her. But anyway, when my wife and I got divorced...
You guys married each other a second time?
A second time, yes.
So you got divorced, then your your partner did what they did, and your daughter died, and you had a brain hemorrhage, and then you guys got married again?
No, actually, we got remarried before my partner took us for a ride.
So before all of these bad things happened, you guys
before
got
all of
remarried?
This, yes.
How
yeah.
long were you divorced?
Yeah, we were divorced for 10 months. See, she's the love of my life, and I'm the love of her life.
Yeah.
But we lost communication. We had lost communication, and you know, the thing is that we loved each other dearly, but we could not talk to each other. So she went her way, I went my way, you know, we got divorced.
Right.
And so I asked myself the question. I said, okay, what's wrong with me? I didn't ask what was wrong with her because there was nothing wrong with her. She's the love of my life. So I asked, what's wrong with me? And so I started doing things to start discovering what was wrong with me. And the fire walk was a part of it. It was the first thing I actually did to really start my journey was the fire walk.
Okay.
And so, I did probably about 30 or 40 fire walks. And so I really became, I came to understand the fire walk and what it was about and, what it represented and how to get it done and things like that. So I kind of started doing my own. I don't do them a lot because, this is my friend Chick. This is his thing, you know what I mean? So, but
okay.
Every once in a while people ask me, they say, Eddie, would you do a fire walk? And, of course, I say, sure, absolutely I will. We just have a blast.
Well, it looks like from the pictures that you are having a great time. And you've got a positively zen look on your face while you're walking across the fire. I'm thinking you must have done this quite often.
Yes, I did. I did.
Yeah.
I went to 30 or 40 of them all in a row. I mean, I didn't miss a fire walk for probably 2 years.
You look extremely at home.
Yes. I love the
very
fire.
At home.
It's I did a 35-foot fire walk one time with a ripped muscle in my leg.
Wow.
Yeah, I was hobbling across the fire. Everybody was concerned. They were like, are you sure you want to walk this fire? And I'm like, yes, I've got to walk this fire. Because my Indian name at this training that I was doing was Firewalker. And
oh,
fire
no.
Walker,
yeah. You better, huh?
Uh-huh.
You better walk that.
My name. So, yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was the guy that was running the fire walk walked right next to me because he wanted to hold my hand, And I was like, you don't have to hold my hand. He said, but can I walk next to you? I'm like, sure, go ahead.
If it
makes you feel good, walk next to me. And so I had literally drug my right leg across the fire. And it was an amazing time. An amazing time because, we talk about when we're down that we have to step up and do. It's the times that we're down and we prove to ourselves that we can keep going, that will fire us up and really set our journey.
Right on.
So,
right on.
Yeah,
well, I got to, I want to ask you now to tell us a little bit about your upcoming house call and couch surfing tour. So that people know how to reach you while you're on the road and maybe give our listeners some idea of, you know, where they might be able to pull you out to, like if there's certain cities you're particularly drawn to, then they can, you know, reach out to you. But anyway, let them know how they can find you while you're on the road.
Go to my website. Okay, smileandwaveamerica.com.
Yep, all spelled out.
I'm sorry?
It's all spelled out, yeah, no abbreviation.
It's all spelled out, yes. So the and is A&D. But that's something that came to me when I kept seeing people getting sadder and sadder and sadder through this whole time. I said, you know, I've been given a gift. I have to go share this gift. Who am I to keep this with me, keep this inside of me, or keep this in the little part of the world that I live in? I need to spread this out. So I decided that I'm just going to go, and I'm going to start finding people that will allow me to sleep on their couch. And then I'm going to hop in my van, and I'm going to start driving across the country, and people get in touch with me, and they say, hey, come over here, stay on our couch, or stay in our spare room. And I go there, and they set up, you know, a talk at a chamber, or maybe we'll set up some happiness rallies. Or I'll even go out in the street in my rabbit suit and just help people to play. You know, finding ways to just uplift people, to get that smile going back again. You know, give them some hope. And so, you know, it's going to be a story that people can follow me on the road. I'm going to be blogging. I'm going to be doing videos, you know, just all kinds of things to show people what's going on and have interviews with the people that I talk to and so that they can see maybe there's a story out there that can touch their lives. Somebody may go to the website and listen to a story and go, wow, I can really relate to that. You know, let me start doing what they're doing, because I'll have people start telling stories about, you know, what's happened with them and how they've been brought down and what they did to bring themselves up, kind of like what we're doing today.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm sharing my story here. Yeah. Because hopefully my story is touching somebody out there, and they're saying, wow, if he went through all that stuff and he can be happy, I mean, you know, he was slam dunk. He's under the ground, and
yeah,
he rise back up like the phoenix and started living life again.
Wow.
To give people hope.
And that's really awesome that you and your wife got back together, too. I mean, and you know, that's just quite a love story you got going there as well.
Yeah, yeah. I love my wife, and fortunately, she loves me back.
Yeah. It helps when it goes both ways. It really does.
Yes, it does. It kind of gets tricky if it's not that way. Huh? So.
Eddie Rodriguez from SmileAndWaveAmerica.com, your happiness coach, coming to a city near you. We're going to have to sign off for tonight. I really appreciate you joining me in the shame-free zone. And I've got to tell you, you've got an amazing, amazing story. I think it'd give us all pause when we start feeling sorry for ourselves. You're, you know, a really amazing example of what gratitude can do to shift the life around in a positive direction, regardless of, you know, what kind of bad things may be happening to anybody, you know, out there that's listening.
I'm so grateful that you allowed me on the show. I'm very honored, and I hope that
my privilege.
All of the listeners. What's that?
My privilege. I'm really glad you came on and told your story. It's an amazing story.
Well, I hope
Thanks,
that everybody
Eddie.
That's listening has an amazing, amazing week, and that this week is the best week ever, and that next week is even better than that, and
awesome.
Every week after that's even better.
Awesome. Amen to that. Okay, so to let all the listeners know, I am back in Nevada City, and I do have an office in Nevada City. Some of you may know that. It's over on Providence Mine Road in a cute little Victorian office complex. And I take appointments on Wednesdays and Fridays. Those are in-person appointments where you can actually come to my office and meet me face-to-face. And if that doesn't work for you, if you're not located anywhere in Northern California and don't plan on coming out to Gold Country, don't worry. I am talking to somebody right now from the UK, just chatting, instant messaging over here on Facebook. And I do that quite often. I've got clients from around the world. We use Skype and PayPal. And then, of course, if you happen to be in the continental U.S., or I think actually even Hawaii and Alaska, then we just do the phone. I call you on the telephone, and I do accept credit cards if you are from the U.S. as well. So, and what can you expect from a session? Well, I'm certified as a sexologist, and I'm also certified as an anger management specialist. And I like to work with couples, men, women, individuals, who are in relationship, getting out of a relationship, want to be in a relationship and haven't seen one for a long time. It really doesn't matter, but if it has anything to do with love and romance, then I am your woman. And I specifically specialize in anger management for couples and sacred sexuality. So give me a call. My number is 888-903-0050. You can also do my cell phone, 415-407-2932, 415-407-2932. And you can text me if you prefer. I know that's kind of hard to make that phone call sometimes. So send me an email or text me. Email is veronica@sexwithoutshame.com. I'll look forward to hearing from you. And next week on the Shame Free Zone, we are going to be speaking to my good friend, Sharla Hathaway. Sharla Hathaway is working on a book about aging and sex. So I hope you'll tune in. I'm sure she's got some amazing, inspirational things to say about sex as we get older. And as you know, the Shame Free Zone broadcasts every Monday night at 9 p.m. Pacific. So we'll see you then. Thanks so much and good night.